Once upon a time, in the magical land of Equestria. Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 6, Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will.
"She is dying,"
the doctor said. My hoof stopped down cracking concrete.
"And fix it!"
I didn't remember much of what happened after the drug dealer's lair. Visions of fire and rage swam through my memory, but were gone just as quick. What I do know is that me and Flair managed to safely carry Serenity back up to the Finisher's headquarters, where they proved themselves useless. Had her life not been in their hooves, I would have killed them all.
"We cannot,"
the Finisher's doctor said with a shake of her head.
"Do it anyway!"
My voice was cracked and strained, while tears stung my eyes. Most ponies on the verge of tears looked pathetic. I looked frightening.
We have not the technology."
The mare was visibly shaking over Serenity's body. She was strapped down to the table, her coat pale with life visibly leaving her eyes more each second. The stake was still on her chest, stained with blood, and doctors were too afraid to remove it. They said she'd bleed out if they tried. They said she needed a blood transfusion. They said they needed medical equipment they didn't have. They needed to save her, because if they didn't, no pony could save them from me. The door creaked open and a familiar blue unicorn stepped into the sterile white room.
"Hatgun," she said softly. "Is she well?"
How long had I been in that room? Hurley could not say. Maybe 10 minutes or an hour. But as I saw Serenity draw less air in with each consecutive breath, I knew it had been for far too long.
"She's dying."
Tension blanketed the room like a thick fog.
"For what it is worth, I am sorry."
What the fuck? Who the hell bows like that when a filly is dying 5 feet in front of them? Of all the times to stay in character, this was the worst. Rage boiled my tears away.
"You will be."
"Huh?"
She clearly was not accustomed to being threatened. There was no need to tell her that I wasn't threatening. I was promising.
"It shall not come to that. I, for the finish, have a plan."
I didn't like the sound of that. Nevertheless, I tore my eyes away from her and back to the small filly dying on the bed. She seemed so small at that moment. Just a tiny little thing writhing in pain as her body failed her. My mind raced back to the time I met her, lying in her own filth, chained like a monster. She seemed so small then, too, so vulnerable. She was just a filly. It wasn't fair that Celestia deemed her to die so close to her home. Tears fell from my eyes for a second before I wiped them away. I could not allow that to happen. I trusted this photo finish little, and her plan none at all, but anything was better than standing around useless as Serenity died. A fool's plan was better than no plan. Even if it was a fool's plan that got her into this mess.
"Tell me,"
I said, my voice cracking.
"Flair, come in."
My neck snapped to the door. This was his fault. His blue face purple. He gagged, dying. It took 5 of them to pull me off. Had I had not heard Serenity's whimper, it would have taken more. I should have killed him. Let him die in the street like the rat he was. No pony would have cared. No pony would have even noticed. Instead, I took pity on his drugged up ass and went along with his little plan. Raid a drug dealer's base. How hard could it be? 4 ponies died in those sewers, and a 5th was coming shortly. I don't care who he was. His life wasn't worth that of 5 others. Carefully, I wiped the sweat off Serenity's brow. Behind me, I heard Photo Finish go on about something. I wasn't really paying attention to the details. I'm supposed to put her life in his hooves? Once again, I found myself without any viable options. Serenity was dying of internal injuries, and the Finisher's doctor had done everything in their power to prolong her life, but they didn't have the abilities to actually remove the spike from her chest. Well, they could remove it, but she'd die of blood loss before healing potions could fix her. If they gave her healing potions with it still in her chest, it'd cause massive internal damage. They didn't have any options, and neither did I. That's how I found myself in front of the Great Dais gate beside a something. It looked almost like a carriage, but it had no visible wheels that I could see. Instead, it had a big block of mechanical hoosets that Flair claimed was an engine that allowed him to fly it, attached to him with relative ease. Most importantly, he claimed it would ride smoothly with Serenity on the back. The finisher's doctor would be riding alongside too, even if she was a sham and deserved a bullet in the brain.
He's no choice.
Photo finish, for her part, was surprisingly accommodating. I was sure it wasn't my charm of personality that made her put so much effort into getting Serenity help, but I didn't bother asking. Don't get me wrong, I was grateful for the help. I just would have been more grateful it wasn't her fault. Well, not really her fault, but she did share some of the blame, as did Flair. And me, of course, and my idiotic means of protection. What if he crashes? Far from my over-emotional state earlier, I was feeling much calmer. Well, that could have something to do with the whiskey.
Ponies die. Unfortunate. But that will not happen. You have mine. Photo finishes word on it.
I'll ride with her, I said.
No,
Flair said harshly, walking in front of me. Behind him, I saw the Ponytrons manning the gates eyeing us with suspicion.
I'm not very strong. I can't take the weight.
My muscles tensed, and he must have noticed. Walking towards me, he whispered in my ear,
It's a long run. If you want to keep up, you might want to try some of what you took from me.
Dash. Like its namesake, it made you go faster, think faster, act faster. If what I'd been told was correct, it'd make you forget your weariness and make you like a bolt of lightning. The Watcher's base was on the other side of Dice, not a small distance, I assure you, and I was tired, sore, and a little bit drunk. I was not entirely sure I could run the distance, and I did not fancy leaving Serenity alone with strange ponies for any amount of time. Photo finish went first, giving the Ponytrons our newly acquired and perfectly legal forged passport she had gotten from Deadhead earlier that day. Three in total, as she herself had no intention of leaving her city. I marched carefully behind Flair, who was hovering with the cart just above ground level. The five mechanical things watched us eerily as we passed through the gate. I did my best to look forward and ignore the corpse of the colt that had been gunned down the day before. In my mind, the colt was named Mischief. With a crash, the gate shut behind us. We were here. This was Dice. To my right, with shining lights in every window, was a huge building with a pool in front blasting jets of water into the air. The water streams danced and shimmered in multicolored lights as music blared from hidden speakers. Huge flashing words, the moon, doubled as its name and the entrance as stairs led into huge O's. What caught my attention most of all, I was ashamed to say, was the pretty young mares in front. Gulping a bit as the heat rose in my cheeks, I turned my head. Directly across the street were a series of smaller hotels and skyscrapers that looked mostly empty, or at most underfilled, except for a large hotel down the street. It was made up of three large circular buildings that looked almost like large barrels of alcohol, connected by a series of bridges and a large rectangular center first floor in which each building rose from. In front of the building was a large sign stating, The Ale House, complete with an exclamation mark. And there were so many ponies. The street was so large it could have fit 50 ponies abreast and very nearly did. Ponies of all builds and races swarmed the streets going to and fro. I counted numerous NCA ponies in full blue uniform, but obviously not on duty by the way they staggered and swerved. Apparently I wasn't the only pony what liked a good drink, and there was no doubt that this was Dice, the last city. None of that mattered. I shook my head. Not the lights, or the ponies. Only getting Serenity to safety. Flair, I turned to him as he hovered, waiting for me. Go! He shot off like a rocket. Dash. Just one little puff. It couldn't hurt. I needed the speed. One puff was all it took. Suddenly, everything in this obsessively bright town was shiny. So shiny. Look at all the pretty ponies, I thought. I could just go dancing with them. Where does he think he's going? I could beat him. I was faster. I started after, leaving a wave of confused ponies in my wake. My hooves beat against the ground like a song. Smash, clang, smash, smash. Smash, clang, smash, smash. I found myself staring at my leg. It sparked like the stars in the light. Why weren't they all like that? It would have made things so much... Watch out! Some pony screamed. Jolting upwards, a huge multi-tiered water fountain with the stone figure of a stuffy military pony rearing victoriously grew out of the ground. I swerved and circled around it, but ran straight into an excessively tall, pale green unicorn with a red and orange striped mane. "Sire, nice to meet you, got a race," I yelled, giggling to myself as I tore away from the pony and continued my race. I recognized for half a second that the fountain marked a crossroad in the city, with four streets heading off, each equally large and shiny. So shiny I wanted to go down them, until I saw the cart zooming ahead of me. No fair cheating. I zipped off again as my hoofs began their racing song. Smash, clang, smash, smash. Past the fountain, more buildings rose up to my right. Lots and lots, and most even glowing. Largest of all was a wide, stout hotel named The Clips and Clops, judging from its flashing sign. It would have been ordinary, even if you counted the abnormal amount of ponitrons standing guard around it. And the whole block really was swarmed with those mechs. Except for on top of it was a tower. Not any tower, but a huge one that rose up like an arrow to the sky. I had to stretch my neck back so far it hurt just to see the top floor was shaped like a pink pony, with an equally pink and poofy mane. It seemed to smile across the city, the tip of its hair lost in the clouds. I wanted to just watch it as I ran past, until nearly ran into a Pegasus with two clouds as its cutie mark. Leaping nimbly over the pony, I skidded on the other side and kept racing. I was getting a feeling for the city. To my left was going to be another fancy hotel that shattered what I imagined possible. Except there wasn't. I pouted as I weaved in between ponies. There was a hotel, and it was a fair bit larger than all the other buildings near it, but instead of looking high and fancy, it looked worn and beaten. Where other hotels had kept their pre-war names, this hotel was notably scarred where the old sign had been. Instead, a huge banner with the words Black Salamander Hotel and Casino painted crudely on it was hung. The only thing even remotely unusual was the fact that, unlike other three city blocks I passed, every light was shining from every window of every building. Right. Boring. Racy, racy. Ahead of me, I could see Flair zipping along. I was catching up. He had to slow down to dodge a group of ponitrons escorting an aging mare and a walker. I too swerved to dodge them, but managed to keep my super impressive speed. Ha! I was gonna win. Score one for Earth Pony Awesomeness. The road narrowed suddenly to a stone path. The main blocks that I aced were behind me. We were getting closer, I knew. Closer to the watchers. On either side of me, in states of disrepair, were two large octagonal buildings surrounded by what must have been rather nice-looking parks, but had since been burned and charred. A sign I raced past called the place Luna's Low-Income Residency. I couldn't help but notice a multitude of Pegasi flying around the left. The right building looked deserted, but a shantytown of makeshift houses were perched all around the building. Whatever, I was running. And losing. Damn cheating Pegasus. We rounded around the Pegasus-infested building, following a new path, and running face first into a wall. Not the great dais wall, but a shorter wall of mortared brick inside dais. It seemed to cover a large swath of land, and was made in the style of castles of old, with ramparts and the like. It made me want to be a knight. Sir Silverstorm at your service. Pretty maiden to rescue? Not a problem. A lance is all I need. Two large wooden gates creaked open as I finally reached Flair and his flying wagon thingy. Hey! I bounced around his side. Hey, watch your guys! Guarding the wooden gate were four ponies with battle saddles. Hey, pay attention! We have an injured filly! The guards ignored me completely and talked in low, hushed voices with Flair. Assholes, I was being serious. Hey! Listen! Filly here! Needs care and shit! Get your best doctor before I... The guard with a spiked mane glared at me before speaking into a metal device thingy on his foreleg.
You got two addicts here. Looks like Dash. And a critically injured filly. Advise.
I'm not an addict, I said, bouncing for a second before running to the other side of the cart. Listen, I stopped talking as a muffled voice emitted from the guard's foreleg. I didn't really hear what it said, as I suddenly found my pit buck far more interesting. It had lights and buttons and switches. And I had no idea what half the shit did, but it made it that much cooler. This thingy could hold the answers to all my problems, if only I could twist this stupid thing right. Though I wasn't paying attention to their stupid conversation, I did hear the term number six come up multiple times, and then something about restraining, and unruly, I really should have been paying attention. Next thing I knew, some pony pressed a sweet-smelling rag over my face, and then blackness. My eyes fluttered open, seeing nothing but darkness. Slowly, I rose to my hooves, only that didn't happen. What really happened is I tried to rise, but thick leather straps kept my legs tied down, making me accidentally smash my head off the table I was strapped to. I was just glad no pony else was around to see that sour display. No pony else. Some pony tied me down, face first, onto a table, and now they were nowhere to be found. In my experience, ponies rarely tied you down without being somewhere close. You know, in case them what they tied down tried to escape. Not every pony would consent to being tied down, and to be frank, it reminded me of Forked Tongue. Not something I like thinking about. Ever. As I struggled with the leather straps, my eyes slowly adjusted to the dim light. If my eyes were right, I was in some sort of medical room, rows of medical equipment lining it. Had I any idea of what any of it was or did, I would tell you. But lacking in such knowledge, all that can be said is there seemed to be an abundance of tubes shining eerily in the darkness. Either a medical room or a mad scientist's chambers, or both. Oh, I said, light burning my eyes. Squeezing them tight, I slowly opened them to see it coming from a small lamp hanging from the mouth of a unicorn stallion. I gathered he was a doctor by the stethoscope around his neck. Slowly and deliberately, he placed the lamp upon a table before turning to me with his small black eyes. Not black, but a deep gray that looked black. No, not creepy at all. He chuckled. Yes, my eyes. When I was but a colt, the other fillies and colts thought I was a demon. When they could, they'd run from my presence. He smiled amiable, which only served to make me squirm with my restraints more. On the other hoof, it served me well, for whenever I commanded one to fetch me a spark of cola, it wasn't long before it was in my hooves. He licked his lips at the thought. Why am I tied down? I asked. To keep you from moving. He guffawed and turned for me, facing one of the medical stands or something. Hi, kid. It's standard procedure for addicts. Some do not wish to be here, and sometimes it's better they are not given a choice. As he stood with his flank to me, I could not help but notice he lacked a cutie mark. Or rather, where it should have been looked like it had been burned. I am not an addict, I said. I gave my very best growl as I turned and stared straight ahead. It was the most comfortable position I could get without breaking the leather straps, and I wanted to save that for a climactic turn in the conversation. It was at that time I realized I was an idiot, and that I was actually in a blue tarp tent and not a building proper. Most ponies would have noticed that much sooner. Do you know, he started, turning his blue body to me, what happens when alcohol and dash mix? It doesn't react right away, but within the hour it takes two already dangerous chemicals and makes them deadly. Back in Iglow, young stallions and mares dared each other to take them together, called it ghoul blood. Said you felt like you could live forever. It'll get you higher than you've ever been, then it'll kill you. One time they found 15 corpses around a bonfire in some abandoned building. You'll never guess how they died. Groaning, I slammed my head into the table. How the hell was I supposed to know that? He flipped his short, cropped black and red mane at me. Classy. Lucky your friend Flair was smart enough to tell us what was going on. It was his idea to take the dash, just so I could... Serenity! I shot up so violently, I tore two of the leather straps binding me asunder. The doctor took a step back, chuckling. Oh, impressive. The filly is fine. She's currently sleeping peacefully. You were lucky to get here in time. Very. She is such a nice filly. I remember her well from her time here. And she had a great deal to say about you. You knew Dr. Morwin, did you not? I nodded. As we heard. You had suffered star metal poisoning. Sad thing, and unfortunately too common. Well, more common than it should be. What? I asked. No doubt you had not heard, but a few months before the Great War, a chunk of said metal had fallen just outside the city. The explosion took many lives, but it was covered up under the guise of a minotaur attack. No pony wanted to hear the sky was falling in between hostile raids. So, Mr. New Haggis reported lies, as reporters are wont to do. Mr. New Haggis? There was no way it could be the same pony. New Haggis's voice was too damn amazing to be a ghoul's. And there was no other way a pony could live that long. Mr. Haggis, the doctor corrected. He was a DJ before the war, and his voice was famous. Since Dice came to be, many have taken up his mantle. He stopped before staring at me quizzically. You really know nothing about this area, do you?
I shook my head slowly, wishing I had a sweet clue about anything, ever. I guess it doesn't matter. What matters is getting you and your friends right is right. Now, about what Morrowind wanted you for? What is number 6? I asked. It came to me in a flash, memories of the night before. I remembered them saying that multiple times. He swallowed for a second. It's a code. Code 6 stands for life-threatening injury that needs immediate attention. Now, are you going to let me give you caps or what? I'm listening. When you were out, we weren't exactly sure if the drugs you took were going to kill you. So we may have done some tests on you while we had the chance. I narrowed my eyes at him, but gave him a chance to finish. If only because he did save Serenity's life. Yeah, sorry. Back where I come from, there's a saying, time waits for no pony. The tests were simple enough. It's just, well, you are very remarkable. There have been stories of ponies surviving exposure to star metal for years, but all official records have them living 3 days tops. You're, well, the answer to a question. Thanks, I guess. And we've arranged for a hefty transfer of caps to your saddlebag for being a good sport about our totally unethical practices. Right, whatever. All I heard in that sentence was caps. Everything else didn't matter. I shrugged up at the blue pony and tugged at my remaining bonds. You mind? Oh, yes. You'll want to see the filly. I shot up again. Serenity. Yes. I had to see her. And then make sure she had a home here. A place she would be safe from radiated water, crazy slavers, and exploding doors. So obviously a place not anywhere near me. As much as I liked the filly, my life was dangerous and getting worse all the time. Don't break anything else, please, he chuckled. Ginger, please come in here. What kind of name was Ginger for a pony? It wasn't. Ginger wasn't a pony. He was something. Instead of walking on all fours, it stood on two almost goat-like legs like a griffin, if a griffin had goat legs. Its massive upper body and chest towered over every pony else in the room, and he seemed to have almost no neck at all and a tiny head with two huge curving horns. Instead of four legs, it had arms, I guess, ending with griffin-like claws except with three fingers and one thumb. His whole body was covered in thick brown fur. It glowered down at me, and even I seemed small in comparison to it. What the fuck? Minotaurs. I'd heard about them, many times in fact, one time in verse. I'd thought they were just another gang of ponies, trying to claim their namesake. Of course, I was a complete idiot. If I would have thought, would have asked, would have anything, I may have figured out the mystery much sooner. Apparently, before the war, Caledonia never actually fought zebras. Instead, they fought a war by proxy against the zebras' close allies known as the Minotaurs. They were an elusive race that roamed the vast plains and deserts to the west, destroying or conquering all they saw in a massive horde. No pony or zebra or buffalo, though to hear tell they tried their hardest, had ever succeeded in dealing with them before they started attacking Caledonia settlements. As the war pushed forth, the zebras gave their allies megaspell technology, just as Equestria gave Caledonia. When Rome and Camelot went up in green flames and pink smoke, Caledonia and the Minotaurs, too, joined in the apocalypse. After, the war was different, though. The Minotaurs had never stayed in one place for long, so the end of the world did not affect them as much. They still roamed the west, though in smaller numbers, and had been harassing NCA settlements. There was a war or something. I'll be honest, I started to doze off as the doctor got to this part of the lesson. Yes, lesson. He sat me down for a half-hour-long session about Minotaurs before he let me see Serenity. Because apparently I was supposed to know and care about this stuff. Frankly, it didn't really matter to me if they found a way around memory orbs 200 years ago. The only part that mattered was the fact that they had regrouped, and now were massed at the Canyon Ridge Bridge. They controlled everything west of it, trading insults with the NCA. Apparently they wanted to destroy Dais for reasons that made no sense. Whatever the matter, they were apparently a threat to the city, and the only reason the city's warring factions hadn't torn each other completely apart. Thanks, I mumbled, rubbing sleep from my eyes. Serenity? He perked up, his black and red mane nearly standing on end. Yes. He motioned for Ginger to open the tent flap, revealing the Watcher's camp in twilight. Huh, it was bright when I came in here. I groaned and rose to my hooves. It still would have been light out if he didn't stop every 3 minutes to recall a memory of his childhood. If you wished it, I could detail his entire foalhood. Not that I really desired to go through that again. Ginger walked in front of us with slow and steady movement, like he was about to fall over with each step. Wherever he went, ponies scattered. Subtly, though, like rats scurrying away from being stomped, not running and screaming like fillies from a monster. Still, you could see how it annoyed him, even if he never spoke. A refugee from a Minotaur camp, the red and black maned doctor explained. He has vowed never to speak until his former comrades leave the Caledonian wasteland. Unfortunately, no one else would take him in out of fear, so we did. How nice, I remarked blandly. It was getting to be a struggle just listening to what he said after that lecture, never mind Karen. So instead, I gazed upon the Watcher camp. It was not what I expected. When Serenity excitedly explained them as healers and helpers, I was expecting a grand hospital able to fit thousands of ponies. What was there was a large, flat area of the city quartered off and filled with tents. Hundreds upon hundreds of tents filled to the brim with ponies of questionable integrity and health. The blue tarp tents almost looked like a sea, or at least what I pictured a sea looked like from what I had heard of them. The largest and grandest seemed to line along the walls of the compound and seemed to be safe for the critically injured, or as housing for doctors and nurses. So, I said slowly, fearing another verbal tirade as I walked beside the doctor, this is the Watchers? Not always what ponies expect. We've grown a lot in the last few years. It was only this year, actually, that we started sending out caravans to tribal villages and the northeastern hilllands. It has not gone as we would have liked, his voice trailed off in reminiscence, but the Watcher does as the Watcher wills. Huh, I said. Religion. Was this really a conversation I wanted to have with a pony that potentially had storage lockers full of poisons? Apparently it was, as my stupid mouth kept moving before I had a chance to, you know, think. It's a religion now? I asked. He chuckled a bit before responding and seemed to slow down as he led me through a maze of tents. It is to some. We have no books or sheets of prayers or physical deities to dote upon, but it's something. He gazed upwards at the clouded sky. I was surprised he did not run into any pony the way he wasn't looking where he was going. Ginger may have had something to do with that, though. We believe that we were put on this earth for a reason, that the wasteland had a purpose, and that somewhere we are being watched by something greater than our understanding. Something that wants us to do better. To be better. So, that's what we do. While that explains the name, shame, I was hoping for something more mysterious. But I have talked too much, he said. You think? We stopped suddenly in an identical-looking blue tent to the thousands of others. The flaps were closed, but inside I saw light peeking through. We're here, the doctor said. Serenity. Inside. It was just about time for a sappy reunion. I could hear the violins already. Hey, I said, the doctor and his Minotaur friend already walking away. But he turned and gave me an impartial gaze with his dark eyes. Who are you? I asked. Maybe I should have asked that earlier when we first met. But hindsight is 20/20. Clean cut. I am the founder and leader of the Watchers. And with that, he trotted off into the sunset without a hint of irony. Whatever. With a fluttering in my chest, I opened the flap, expecting the worst after what I put her through.
Hired!
She had her forelegs wrapped around my neck as I felt warmth rising to my cheeks.
I missed you.
How long had I been out? Another question I should have asked, but did not. She pulled back from the hug. Her gray eyes regarded me with warmth I did not deserve.
You saved me. Again.
She giggled so much I had to wonder if she was on pain medication. But when I looked at where the wound was in her chest, it seemed all but healed, with only a faint scar remaining. Gently, I placed her back on the bed, and she kept talking.
Three times now. Three! I need to start keeping track.
Serenity, I
was hoping when they fixed me up, they'd add some robotic parts. Like a heart. Then I'd be a cyborg. Like you. Wouldn't that scare the paint off any raider?
Serenity,
I didn't, though. It's a real shame, as that would have been awesome. So very awesome, I stayed awake all last night thinking about it.
Well, that explained it. I made a mental note to keep my fillies resting from then on.
Well, mostly. I stayed up hoping you wouldn't be mad at me.
Mad at you? I had to stop there. Why in a question would she think that? It was impossible for me to be mad at a filly for more than 5 minutes. And trust me, I have tried.
No, Serenity, I'm not mad.
Good. Once they give me a clean bill of health, we can leave and find a job with...
Perhaps I should have shared my plans, told her why we came to the Watchers, to find her a home. Now came time to break it to her, but I couldn't. The words caught my throat, and my intestines twisted themselves into knots.
Here, staying.
She looked at me. I could taste the tension in the air.
What? You don't like me?
I couldn't bear to look in her eyes. It was not supposed to be this difficult. She was supposed to hate me or dislike me. I sold her to raiders for like 30 seconds.
No, I like you, I said,
words stuck in my throat again. Why couldn't I channel smooth tongue just for a minute?
It's that... Look at you.
She stared down at her healing body and around at the medical tent she had claimed as her temporary home.
It's not safe with me. You'll get hurt. You'll die.
Will you protect me? She said, flipping her mane and dismissing my worries.
Never.
You just got hurt, I said. Or did she really forget what happened just days ago? Nearly died?
But that was just a one-time thing.
And when you nearly drowned at the stable?
Well,
Serenity stopped, her muzzle scrunching up and trying to think.
You saved me both times.
Barely. I sighed, nuzzling her neck.
I'm not invincible or infallible.
No shit. Yeah, it was obvious, but I had to stop her before she started treating me like a hero. I could try my hardest, but shit happens. I can't risk you dying. Why'd I have to be so sappy? Emotions and I were not close. I could kick down a raider without fear, but I didn't know what to do when tears started to form in my eyes. I couldn't kick tears no more than I could shoot my feelings. So I did what I always did and choked them back. She started and stopped for a second, her gray eyes welling with tears. It was getting too much.
I want to be with you. I mean, I like the Watchers, but they never cared. No one of them would have done half of what you did.
I felt a blast of warmth as she licked my cheek.
I'm not a good pony, I said.
Not for the longest time, at least. I worked for bad ponies and did bad things constantly, and I had no intention of stopping.
No.
At least she knew that.
But you aren't bad. You're...
Her muzzle scrunched up again.
Honest, I think. You do your job. You never lie about what you're doing. When the job's done, then you're on your own. You always do the right thing.
A few times did not mean always. I promised myself to stay true to my contracts, but I didn't always do the right thing when I was away from them.
It's still too dangerous, I said. I'm a big pony. I can decide that.
Silence. I broke that silence.
Okay.
And with a word, I turned her expression from misery to mirth.
But,
I added before I could be bombarded with,
oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
You can't decide now. Think about the dangers, then give me your answer.
No,
I cut her off. You haven't. When they say you're healthy enough to leave, then tell me. She nodded sadly and curled herself into a ball, unable to contain a yawn. You need to sleep, I said. That had not gone as well as I had hoped. Turning, I moved to leave back to my tent when I heard a small voice call out,
Hyde, could you sleep here?
I craned my head around and gave her my best smile. After taking a few moments to move some junk to the floor, I carefully lied down beside Serenity's bed. It was only a few seconds after closing my eyes I felt something small and warm against my chest. I really didn't understand this filly, but that was okay. Sometimes you didn't have to know everything. You just had to know enough. Wow, that was deep. I'm impressed. Being under medical sedation for a few days apparently made me more rested than I thought. According to my pit book, I only napped for an hour before waking up to find Serenity snoring softly at my side. Sighing contentedly, I laid my head down and enjoyed the moments of peace. They were few enough. Of course, it didn't take long for my mind to wander, and I started obsessing on how I planned to protect this little filly and still eke out a living. I couldn't stop doing the tough jobs, not when I had a promise to Wildfire I hadn't kept yet. Depressing. So, instead, I got to my hooves, my metal leg humming ominously before tugging the blanket over Serenity with my mouth. When I left the tent,
It was darkness outside. Well, as dark as Dias ever got. Light shined down in all directions like 1,000 stars had wandered too close. Looking up at all the buildings outside, I had to admit they're beautiful. My gaze shot down when I heard screams. I looked around the sea of blue tarps. I know I heard screaming, but I saw nothing. I turned my head and saw some pony running away. They're flanked to me. Were they running away from me? I knew I was a cyborg, technically, but I never expected I was scary enough to run away from. So, I turned on my radio.
For the news.
Why did it seem every time I turned on my radio, the news was always on?
Strange reports from the Big 52 of what appeared to be a pink ghost. More details as they become available. Well, it seems too, and I use this term lightly, vigilantes have taken to dueling in the Dai streets at night. One calls herself Batmare, while the other Laughing Stallion. From eyewitness reports, they often arrive at the scene of a crime at the same time, and promptly forget to fight said crime in favor of fighting each other. Well, there are no words, so here's some music.
Vigilantes, right. As I walked through the maze, vainly trying to find an exit, I saw nearly no pony. Those that I did see took one look at me and my leg and quickly made themselves scarce. Only one pony stood to match my gaze, and it was a cutie markless colt. He glared at me with something coming perilously close to loathing before a hoof appeared behind a tent flap and pulled him inside. Somehow, I wasn't sure why, I did not feel welcome.
Scaring folks again, Hyde? And here I thought the detox would do you some good.
Soaring out of the sky, flare landed in front of me, looking, well, looking really good. Don't get any ideas. I mean, compared to his skinny, twitching sail from before, he looked healthy. His coat seemed bluer and fuller. His pink eyes were no longer bloodshot and lacking the bags as before. Hell, it even looked like some pony cleaned his mane. Looks like, I said, scanning the rows of tents, seeing no pony.
Yep, you're an idiot. Good things. Means I get to be Mr. Exposition and tell you shit like I'm an egghead or something.
Flair had a trick to speaking. He took a simple statement, then added as many unnecessary words as possible.
Never heard of Celestia's Vision, have you? I don't suspect so, what with you not knowing much of anything, but they don't like cyborgs.
I'd heard of Celestia's Vision, though I couldn't really recall from where. And I took offense at the term cyborg. I mean, I was, technically, one, but it still felt like a word reserved for lunatics what lost their soul. As far as I knew, my soul was still intact. Then again, the stigma of cyborgs losing their soul might be why these Celestia Vision whatevers did not look kindly on us limbly challenged.
And? Oh, Flair was still talking. A look of disdain masked my surprise. Them folk actually got their start in the Watchers here, so most folk here either are a part of them or agree with them. And that means they don't like the looks of you.
You know as how, I asked.
Lived in Dais all my life, obviously. The only place the remnants have a base after we got kicked out of the sky and what have you. I wasn't no head commander or nothing, but every pony knows the basic rundown of who does what and why.
As much as I load here yet another lecture, I wouldn't mind learning a few things. If Lucky wasn't pulling my tail, it was a dangerous city if you didn't know who ran it. Let's get out of here. The tension in the air was getting too thick, and it felt like 1,000 eyes were boring through my hide as we left.
Fear, Flair said. We trotted side by side through the streets of Dias, moving towards the center fountain. Every pony here is afraid.
He flapped his wing for a second so he could gesture dramatically with his hooves at the plethora of ponies that swarmed the streets.
And ever since them NCA and Minotaurs, Dias has been afraid. Protests every other night, and when the Galicians send their ponytrons against them, they become riots. Mustangs fighting the house for control of the power plant. I don't know what Molly and the bases are doing, but it ain't good.
There are four gangs, you said? He nodded. Four gangs of Dais, each trying to vie for power and control, not counting the Watchers, Minotaurs, NCA, or Steel Rangers.
Yeah?
He twirled around, perching on one of the benches encircling the massive water fountain that acted as the city's center.
It's getting worse and worse. Rumors and full-out gang war in the streets. Minotaur attacks, fears that the NCA will try to annex the city.
He reared up dramatically, mimicking the stature of the pony behind him. He would have done a better job if he had no wings.
Soon the streets would burn or something. Mark my words. It was no mistake I moved out of the city, though the drugs weren't part of the plan.
His face reddened as he continued.
But that's life. Anyway, where was I? Oh yeah. Fear of something. Anyways, ponies here like to drink and gamble to forget their woes for a night. Let's go to the moon. I knew that to be a casino. Sounded like a plan. Before that, I had to get a better layout of the city. The fountain did a good impression of a compass with four large streets pointing out in the applicable directions. North and south, I already knew. Hotels to the north, hotels and watchers, and jumbled mass of buildings to the south. So, instead, I looked down the westernmost street there was. Well, nothing. It ended abruptly, with the dais wall cutting a building in half. Right. No way that's going to end up being important. To the east, there's a jumble of ponies getting thicker the further east it went. What's over there? I asked. Huh? Oh, you know, houses and merchants and stuff. Any pony what doesn't have enough friends or calves to live in the cross. The cross, I am guessing, is what Dais called the four intersecting streets. At least it was well set up in that respect. Four streets cut the majority of the city into four blocks, each block owned by a different gang. I had to wonder who set that up. Well, they go there and live in a hut. Worst spot of town if you don't count Parasite Mound or East Side outside the city. Still, best place to shop. Hardly ever overpriced. He shrugged, flapping over my head. To the moon! He rose dramatically before diving back and landing gently beside me. Damn, I wanted wings. Why the moon? I asked, keeping my head low as we started down the street. It wasn't like we were going to get lost with the huge water show constant playing in front of it. It's the best fucking one. Sure, the airhouse has a little fight, but the moon has everything for sale. Sounded like a good marketing strategy. Maybe. I honestly have no idea what a marketing strategy is. No drugs for me, though. I can resist. Just got clean, for fuck's sake, so don't go thinking that. But they got whores. Heat rushed to my face as he winked at me. I just kept my head low and kept walking and prayed it was too dark to see me blush. Stallions, well, mares for you. Wait, what? Wait, what? I said. I skidded to a stop. Mares? Wait, did he really think I was a filly fooler? Why the hell did every pony think that? Huh? He stopped, looking embarrassed himself. Well, I thought, the way you've been looking at the mares around here.
I was not, dirty lying liar.
It doesn't matter, stallions. Like I said, no, ain't so many. I ignored him and kept walking, doing my best to memorize the street. We're here. I looked up sharply to see a pretty, dialed-up mare smiling at me. Oh, Celestia, why? She winked seductively, and I could feel blood rush to my cheeks all over again. Behind me, I heard the blue bastard laughing at me. Growling, I pushed past the horror as she said,
"You like it rough? So do I."
I never answered, never bothered to look back at the water show. I resisted the urge to kick the door down. "Hey there, doll," a handsome stallion said behind his desk. "Welcome to the moon, where the naughty come to get punished." I could not have gotten more red. "We'll have to take your whip." It took me all 2 seconds to unstrap my battle saddle and dump it on his desk. I didn't really care. I just needed a drink. "Don't get so worked up," Flair nickered beside me, flapping his wings. "You're always so uptight. Take a load off." He opened the door from the entrance lobby into the atrium. "This is the moon." The whole floor seemed dark enough to give the illusion of nighttime, but still bright enough to see everything. Most of that light came from fake half moon hanging from the ceiling overlooking the game floor. 2 dozen tables of games I had never heard of and countless slot machines were spread out evenly across the purple carpeted floor. Gamblers rolled dice and flipped cards as serving mares in skimpy outfits strutted about, their flanks swaying as they walked. On the far wall was a simple stage with a single pole. I looked over just in time for Muse to start blaring and a mare to come out dancing and... Wow. "Drink," I said. "Yeah, yeah," Flair said, hovering off to a nearby counter. From the vague memories of Bridal Hope, I knew what this was all about. Before we could play and drink, we needed casino chips. Gamble with those and trade them for drinks. Or other things here, I guess. I filed after him and got a lovely set of multicolored chips. Obviously, I kept enough in my saddlebags for later. I wasn't stupid enough to gamble all my caps away. "You ever play craps before?" Flair asked. I shook my head. "Ha, it's easy." After that point, things got blurry. I remember a pretty mare getting me shots of whiskey, and then more, and then more. After that, there was this vague sense of warm happiness. Scenes of gambling and caps, kisses, mare, and stallions. Someone telling me I needed to learn how to hold my liquor in the bottom of a toilet. I awoke slowly, cursing at everything I could think of. My head pounded like a jackhammer.
and my stomach heaved when I tried to move. Something smelled like vomit and piss. It made my head hurt more. Groaning out my eyes, why the fuck did I have to drink so much? Looking at the bed, I was happy to see at least this time I didn't wake up in some strange mare's bed. I swear I'm not a filly fooler. Shut up.
Hello.
I didn't recognize the voice. Oh, fuck. I drew my eyes to the doorway where a large red stain was grinning at me from behind a pistol.
Smiles like you had a fun time. I...
Piss off. I buried my head into my pillow. Your voice hurts. He snorted laughter.
Clean yourself up.
Fuck off. Does no pony get the message?
He spent too much last night.
You think? I'm mentally adding a note that red ponies like to state the obvious.
You owe us 2,000 caps.
Aye. Wait, what?
You're broke, even with the weapons we took. Until then, you work for us.
Like hell I was. I rolled off the bed, ignoring the urge to puke and die of a headache, only to fall face first. Blinking, I realized my leg was deactivated. The red fucker was still laughing at me.
Congratulations. You're officially a Mustang.
Footnote. Level up. Skill note. Barter. 25.
Waking up to ash and dust, I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in.